and then we'll go over to Galatians chapter 6. I've titled this message this morning, Living Under the Shadow of the Cross. Living under the shadow of the cross. From the time that Jesus Christ was born, he lived under that shadow. The cross was never absent from his mind, never far from his soul, never out of his heart. He spent 3.5 years with men called his disciples, and that's what he sought to ultimately press upon their hearts. In Mark 8 and 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. On another occasion, when the disciples finally showed that they were starting to get who Jesus was, you remember in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And some said John the Baptist, some Jeremiah or one of the other prophets, but Jesus looked at them and said, who do you say that I am? And Peter responds with this revelation from heaven. He begins to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. But right after that, Jesus began to tell his disciples that he must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and the third day raised to life again. You know what happened after that? You can see it right there in Matthew chapter 16. That Peter pulled him aside and began to rebuke him and said, no, that's not going to happen to you, Jesus. And what did Jesus have to say to him? Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. He was basically saying, there's a spirit talking through you, Peter. How many of you know that even well-intentioned, godly people sometimes, I mean people that even receive a revelation from heaven like Peter did, can get in the flesh and say something that's not of God? I'm here to tell you today, Jesus had to speak to that spirit that was speaking through Peter at that time and say, get behind me, Satan, because it was the cross. That was the reason that he came, my friend, was to go to that cross for you and me. And may we never forget the sacrifice that he has made for us. Every morning that Jesus woke, he lived under the shadow of the cross. Every night that he laid down to sleep, he would sleep under the shadow of the cross. Everywhere Jesus walked, he walked under the shadow of the cross. Every religion today has a symbol of its beliefs. Buddhism is symbolized by the lotus flower because its will is shaped and depicts the cycle of birth and death and reincarnation. Modern day Judaism is symbolized by the Star of David, which speaks of God's covenant with David, that one day the Messiah would descend from him and sit upon that throne forever. Islam is symbolized by the crescent and a star, in which ancient times was a symbol of sovereignty and power. Today, without question, Christianity, hallelujah, has the cross as its symbol, but there is one big difference. The cross of Jesus Christ is not just a symbol of the Christian faith. It is the secret of the Christian life. The cross is the secret of the Christian life. In fact, our entire lives should be lived in the shadow of the cross and built around the truth that Jesus gave his everything for us. There's several statements I want to draw your attention to in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Look in your Bibles. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's nonsense to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. How many of you know that we're not just saved? How many of you know that you're saved today and washed in the blood of Jesus? Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're ready to meet the Lord if He were to come right now. You have not just been saved. You are being saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I'm in the process of being saved. How many of you know that there's an ultimate salvation coming? We get to go home and live with God. We get to go live with God forever. Oh, hallelujah. In Galatians 6 and 11, it says this, "See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desired to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh." I read these verses for context, but here's where I want to focus in verse 14. "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." He said, may I boast, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That statement amazes me, coming from a man who had a lot to brag about. How many of you know if there was somebody that ever had something to brag about and could have been probably justified in bragging about it, it was the Apostle Paul. How many of you know he went through a lot? He went through a lot. He was considered the greatest preacher in the world, the greatest missionary in the church, the greatest theologian, the greatest religious author. He wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament. If anybody had a lot to brag about, he did. But he said, there's only one thing I'm going to brag about. There's only one thing that I'll ever show pride in. There's only one thing that will make my heart swell, and it's the cross on which Jesus died. He said it this way in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. "But what things were gained to me," he said, "these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." And then he said in verse number 10, "that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." If you want to know him in power, you want to know him in glory, you want to go live with God one day, then you've got to embrace the cross. You've got to embrace the suffering. You've got to embrace his cross today. See, Paul said, my life is lived in the shadow of the cross. All of us live our lives under the shadow of something, don't we? It could be money. It could be fear of losing the money. It could be fear of losing your job, or maybe it's the fear of trying to find the right job, the perfect job. It could be a relationship struggle. It could be the shadow of guilt over things that you have done in your life that still try to haunt you today. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we should live our lives under the shadow of the cross. What would that mean for me, Pastor? I want to try to answer that in just a few minutes this morning. To live life under the shadow of the cross means I will live, first of all, a life of praise. I will live a life of purpose. I will live a life of power. And I will live a life of passion. Amen? The four P's. Four peas in a pod this morning. Can you remember that? I'm going to live a life of praise, purpose, power, and passion. First of all, let's look at that power or that life of praise. A life of praise. He said, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice something immediately. It is not the cross that makes Jesus Christ special. It's Jesus Christ that makes the cross special. Hallelujah. We're not to glory in the cross. We are to glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because as I understand, in that day, there was some 30,000 Jews that actually were crucified. Jesus was not the only one that was ever crucified. But you know what? There's not enough money to even pay to find out who those other people were today, because none of them are known. All of them have been forgotten. There's only one that we still remember. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The very fact alone should tell me that no matter what the circumstances may be in my life, maybe I'm unemployed, or maybe I'm battling a difficult disease, or maybe I'm going through a rough time in some of my relationships, but living in the shadow of the cross tells me that I should praise Him no matter what, because what I'm going through is nothing to what He's gone through. If He can make it through that, then you and I can make it through what we're going through. When you start to compare your situation with what Jesus has done for you and the suffering that He endured and the agony that he persevered through, you and I can make it if we'll just keep pressing on. Hallelujah. We should live a life of praise. It makes me think about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. As they had been beaten severely, all because they had been doing the work of the Lord. They had cast an evil spirit out of a slave girl, and now their feet had been placed in stocks, and they were placed down in the inner prison, the lower prison, the worst place that you could be placed in a prison. And I can just imagine them beginning to reflect. You know, Silas, this is bad. Yes, it is, Paul. This is horrible. But I can just hear them reflecting. As bad as this is for us, it's nothing compared to what our Lord went through. And I believe as they begin to reflect on what Jesus had done for them, as they reflected on the cross, the agony, and all that He went through, and the fact that He rose again on the third day and He lives forevermore, I believe that just sprung a song on the inside of them. They begin to say, you know what? We don't have to just sit here in misery. We don't have to sit here complaining and murmuring and saying, woe is me, and I can't believe this has happened to me. We were doing the will of God, and why are we in this situation? No, we're just going to begin to sing some hymns. We're going to begin to sing some praises. We're going to begin to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. And when I live under the shadow of the cross, I can start praising God no matter what my situation is. And that's what Paul and Silas did. And the Bible says that the prison foundations begin to shake. Hallelujah. They begin to shake because they were praising God. And not only were they set free, but the Philippian jailer was saved and his entire household was saved. Why? Because somebody was willing to live a life of praise under the shadow of the cross and the power of His resurrection. Hallelujah. Secondly, I intend to live a life of purpose. To live under the shadow of the cross means to live a life of purpose. If the cross tells you and me anything, it tells me that everything there is a purpose. God had a purpose for the cross, and the cross has a purpose for our lives. The Bible says in Acts 2 and 23, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Yes, God had some specific purposes in mind when He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And the first purpose that I want to point out here is that the cross would once and for all prove His love for the world, and in the process define what real love is all about. You cannot tell me what real love is apart from the cross. You can't define what real love is apart from Jesus Christ sacrificially giving Himself in death. There are all kinds of skeptics out there today. especially in light of all the evil that is rampant in our world today. All of the killing and the injustices, the bombing and the threat of bombing. How many of you have been keeping up with that lately? Fear. There's a lot of skeptics who will sneer and who will say, where is the love of God in all of this? Have you heard it before? Do you know why they can't find the love of God? Because they're looking in the wrong places. The only place you need to look for God's love is on the cross of Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John 4:10 says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated His love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before you were ever thought of in your mother's womb, He died for you. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The atoning sacrifice. And may we never ever forget what He has done for us. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Jesus died for me, so therefore I should live for Him. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. How many of you know that we're not supposed to live for ourselves anymore? Did you hear that? And He died for all. Aren't you thankful He didn't just die for a few people? He didn't just die for you sitting here in this beautiful sanctuary today. He died for the whole world. For God so loved the world. He died for that coworker of yours. He died for that person that gets on your nerves at work. He died for that person who gets on your nerves in your home. It better not be the person sitting beside of you today. That's right. He died for them. He died for that prostitute. He died for the drunkard. He died for that person who the society has given up on and said, you'll never amount to anything. He died for them as well. And that's why you and I've got to take this message of the gospel to every person we come in contact with. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God so loved the world. Hallelujah. God had a specific purpose in mind. He wanted to accomplish in that death. Jesus died so that we would have a life of purpose, have a life, a purpose in life that we could live. When we live in the shadow of the cross, we will live a life that has purpose and meaning. How many of you know that we get to go live with God one day? It has meaning. It has purpose. So I can live a life of praise. I can live a life of purpose. But I also should live, thirdly, a life of power. Everybody say power. A life of power. There is power in living under the shadow of the cross. And it's a greater power than nuclear power, political power, financial power, or physical power. The power found in this next statement in this verse is this: may I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom which the world, listen, has been crucified to me. When Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, God also made sure that the world was crucified on the cross. Well, I don't understand that. I'm not talking about the physical world. I'm talking about the moral world. The ethical world. I'm talking about the philosophical world. And all that this world has to offer to drag us down and that the world would throw in front of us to try to trip us up, all of that was crucified on the cross. So if you're living under the shadow of the cross, the world will be crucified to you. The world in its philosophies, the world in its teachings, the world in its practices, it will be crucified to you. It will have nothing to do with you because the world, He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, if any all that's in the world, the love of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Are you hearing me? But the world is passing away in the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God shall abide forever. Because of the cross, every follower of Jesus has the power to do something that no one else can do. We have the power to overcome the world. 1 John chapter 5 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. We have the power to overcome the world. There's an exercise I want you to try sometime. Maybe very soon, I don't know. Especially if you're in a spiritual battle with which you feel like you're losing. If there's a particular type of temptation that you find difficult to resist, and how many of you know that we're all tempted? I preached on this just recently. Every single one of us are tempted in different ways, but we're all tempted. The next time that you feel like you're tempted to do something you shouldn't do, I want you to stop 10 seconds and focus on Jesus dying on the cross. I want you to focus on three things. Who is on that cross? Why is he on that cross? And what has the cross done for you? I believe if you'll focus on those three things in that moment, it'll be almost impossible for you to do what you were thinking about doing, watching what you're thinking about watching, seeing what you were thinking about seeing, thinking about what you're thinking about thinking. I'm here to tell you today, the cross has the power to set us free. There's something about the cross that kills, that both kills and gives life. It kills the joy of sin and gives us the joy of freedom. Listen, if sin didn't have a season of pleasure, then it wouldn't be tempting to do it. Amen? Why would the devil tempt you to do something that you have no pleasure in whatsoever? The problem is, it's a very fleeting and temporary pleasure. And then it leaves you feeling empty and guilty and dry and lifeless and in bondage. How many of you know the devil's a liar, church? And the father of lies. The cross kills the thrill of temptation and feeds the thrill of liberty. It kills the pleasure of wrongdoing. It gives life to the desire to be holy, to be godly, and to be righteous. In the shadow of the cross, we can live every day as a life of power. How many of you want the power of the Holy Ghost in your life? I'm telling you, we all need the Holy Ghost in our lives now like never before. We need to be filled with the Spirit, filled with His power. We need His power. But you want God's power in your life? It starts at Calvary. And once you go by Calvary and receive a fresh cleansing of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, then it's time. I said, then it's time to go on to the upper room and be clothed with power from on high. Hallelujah. That's what we need today in the church. We need to be filled again with the Holy Ghost and with power. But it starts with the cross. It starts with returning to the foot of the cross. Lastly, I can live a life of praise, purpose, and power, but I also need to live a life of passion. He went on to say in verse 14, the latter half of it, I have been crucified to the world. He starts out by saying the world's been crucified to me and I to the world. In the shadow of the cross, not only is the world crucified for you, but you are crucified to the world. Has it ever occurred to you that crucifixion is one form of death that you cannot inflict upon yourself? I don't mean to be insensitive in any way, because some of you have had, you've had people that you know have committed suicide. There's people that can kill themselves, they can drown themselves, they can hang themselves. They can do all kinds of things to kill themselves. But how many of you know they can't crucify themselves? Crucifixion is something that must be done to you, that you must surrender to. And that is why the cross is the key to the Christian life. Aren't you glad that Jesus surrendered to the cross as they were coming to get him in the garden? And Peter's pulling out the sword and saying, "We're here for you, Jesus." And he cuts off Malchus's ear, and Jesus said, "Put away your sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword." I mean, and then he heals the man, puts his ear back on, right? Jesus at that moment could have called legions of angels down and gotten rid of everybody there. But he said, "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." He said, "This is the reason that the Son of Man has come, to seek and to save that which was lost. I've lived under the shadow of the cross ever since I was born into this world, ever since the incarnation when I put on human flesh and became like one of you. This is the whole reason I came, to set humanity free, to bridge the gap between those who were steeped in sin and those who wanted to get back to God. Jesus is the eternal bridge that gets us from that place of bondage over to eternal life with God forever. I'm so glad today that Jesus is my Lord. He's still my Savior. He's still my Redeemer. He's still my Sanctifier. He's still my Baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He's still the one who's in my life." Hallelujah. 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 He said in Luke 9:27, "If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he made this statement: "For I have been crucified with Christ." Think about that. I've been crucified with him. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. You cannot know him in resurrection power until you know him in the cross. Until you know him in suffering. There's a lot of teaching and there's a lot of preachers today. They will try to bypass the cross and they'll try to bypass suffering. They'll try to bypass pain because they want you to think that the life of Christianity is a life of total bliss and there's no dry season and you should never have any problems and you shouldn't. It's all prosperity. It's all wonderful. But I'm here to tell you today, in this world you will have tribulation. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If we suffer with him, we'll also get to reign with him." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've said, if we die to sin with him, we'll get to live forever in the glory of his presence. But we've got to take up our cross, identify ourselves with Jesus, be willing to suffer with him. Those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You're not going to get out of this thing easy, but if you'll stay committed, and you'll give a life of purpose, and you'll stay dedicated to the cause, God will help you get to the end. And then you'll get to go live with God. Hallelujah. Give him praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus. It's not without irony that Mel Gibson's magnificent depiction of the death of Christ was called the Passion of the Christ. The common definition of passion is this: a compelling emotion or desire that drives everything you do. A compelling emotion or desire that drives everything you do. That's passion. What you're passionate about is where you'll spend your time. What you're passionate about is what you will live for and long for. Aren't you thankful that Jesus was passionate about you and me? So passionate that we were worth dying for. Passion. The cross of Jesus Christ points to everything that God is passionate about. God is so passionate that we spend eternity with Him. He sent Jesus to die on that cross. The truth is, you know what you're really passionate about when you're willing to lay your life down for it. I say this without any reservation whatsoever. I would lay down my life for my wife and my two sons. If somebody had a gun held to them and said, I'm going to kill you, I would stand in front of them. God is my witness. I mean that with my whole heart. I would stand in front of them and I would take that bullet for them. I've thought about it. Jesus said, greater love than no one has than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Can you imagine this kind of love with me today? Jesus was willing to lay down his life for us, and we were not even thought of yet. As you get under the shadow of the cross, remember this. The one who created the world, the one who hung the stars, the sun and the moon and the galaxies, the solar systems, the universe, would rather die for you than live without you. Hallelujah. That ought to stop and just make us praise God right now. He'd rather die for you than live without you. Hallelujah. That's something to brag about right there. If you're going to brag about something, let's brag on Jesus. Let's brag on Him. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. But I'm here to remind you this morning, there's not a victory without a fight. There's not a sunrise without a night. And there's not a purchase without a cost. Listen, and there's not a crown without a cross. I said, there's not a crown without a cross. I heard that song for the first time when I was singing in the Lead Singers many years ago. And it meant so much to me because I had been going through some things in my life as a young college student, seeking God's purpose and plan for my life. And God used that song to get me through some seasons of my life. There's not a victory without a fight. There's not a sunrise without a night. There's not a purchase without a cost. There's not a crown without a cross. How many of you here today are willing to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it. Hallelujah. I said it's worth it. Because he said if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we embrace the cross, we get to live in resurrection freedom and power. He said in Romans 8 and 18, for I consider that the present sufferings of this world are not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. That means whatever you're going through right now, it pales in comparison to the glory that heaven is going to be like. Hallelujah. You just keep pressing on. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You just keep persevering. You keep calling on Jesus, you live a life of praise and purpose and power and passion, and God is going to reward you one day if you will take up your cross and follow Him. Embrace the cross, resurrection power like you've never known before, Holy Ghost power like you've never felt before is waiting on you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, give Him praise in the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the cross. I embrace it today. I know this is Palm Sunday. It's a day when